meeting again to make sure that we have everybody that made it to close.
Okay, we're just going to confirm everyone is in the breakout room session. Jason Warren?
Yep, I'm here.
Daryl Owens?
Here.
Anna Miller?
Here.
Sonia Bryant?
Here.
Laura Hickson?
Here.
Karen Radcliffe?
Here.
Marty Connor?
Here.
Ray Cooper?
Here.
Michael Stone?
Here.
Andrea Pridgen?
Here.
Candace Bethay?
Here.
Josh Trahan?
Here.
Tony Folk?
Here.
Mike Beasley?
Here.
Carly's Cave?
Here.
Ryan Brown?
Here.
Cal Bukowski?
Here.
Keith Kaiser?
Here.
And Greer Middle? Mr. Crawford, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We have everyone, Mr. President.
Okay. Very good. Just so you know, the appeals process will proceed pursuant to the rules and regulations outlined by the bylaws of the South Carolina High School League, pages 1 and 2 of those bylaws. Before proceeding, I need to ask if you are seeking an interpretation of the league's constitution bylaws, seeking a hardship petition under special conditions eligibility provision of the league's bylaws, or seeking relief to a sanction or a fine imposed by the league for a violation committed?
Yes.
Interpretation, hardship, or sanction relief?
Yes.
Which of those?
Hardship.
Finally, again, I must ask, are there any members of the executive committee who believe they need to recuse themselves from this appeal? Hearing none, if there are no questions by the school or committee members, the school may present its appeal at this time. Please limit your presentation to 10 minutes to allow for questions and discussions. You may introduce your presenters and begin.
Okay, first I'd like to introduce Bill Owens, our athletic director. He will be presenting information to you at this time.
I'm the athletic director here at Greer Middle College. On behalf of Moises Rain, a senior at Greer Middle College Charter High School, we are appealing to the South Carolina High School League Executive Committee that the rule be set aside according to the South Carolina High School League Bylaws, Section 3, Article 2, Letter A, so Moises can participate in cross country and track his senior year. The basis for this is Moises grew up with his sister, Mirabella, who's a year younger than him, in three different orphanages in Nicaragua. In 2014, parents Jennifer and Jason Rainey began the process of adopting Moises and Mirabella. The process took 8 months, during which the Raineys lived in Nicaragua. Mr. Rainey is an ESOL teacher in Greenville County School System, and Ms. Rainey is an ELA teacher in School District 1, so they both have a background in education. While living in Nicaragua and waiting for the adoption to finalize, the Raineys spent 2 months homeschooling the kids before they moved back to stateside. Both kids barely spoke English, and they were really shocked to find out that Moises, even though he was currently in the 7th grade in Nicaragua, he did not even know what a fraction was. The adoption was finalized in December of 2014, and the family moved back to Greenville, South Carolina. Moises and Mirabella began school in South Carolina in January of 2015. After evaluating both students as parents and as an ESOL teacher and an ELA teacher, the Raineys decided to hold both students back a year. One, they felt like this was best for Moises and Mirabella because of their lack of English acquisition. Moses' first test on the screener test was a 1 out of 6. He basically spoke no English before they began trying to homeschool him back in Nicaragua. Two, because they were entering school in the middle of the school year and things weren't matching up as far as coursework. And with him not knowing what a fraction was when they began homeschooling him back in Nicaragua, they were afraid that he would really be over his head academically in school, and then allow for adjustments to the social and cultural shock for them coming to America from Nicaragua. At the time of this, their decision to put Moises back and hold him back into the sixth grade, they did not consider athletics and how the age issue would be a factor later in high school. This was a decision based on what was best for Moises academically and socially at the time of him starting school in South Carolina. We have included a letter that you should have had in my email, but it's all the documentation. The letter was from Moises' sixth grade ELA teacher supporting the decision that the parents made. You also have the access test score, which showed this was taken during the middle of the seventh grade year, where Moses scored a 3 on a scale of 1-6 one year after being in school at Greer Middle School. This was only possible through the intense work of school and at home, as the parents would testify. There was a lot of evenings spent trying to get him called up, him to understand, because of him really not speaking any English when he was adopted. Moses was born on June 2nd, so he's only missing the cutoff date by 28 days. We do not think that 28 days give him a competitive advantage over other athletes. We believe that this fits under the extraordinary circumstances needed to set aside the age rule and to allow Moses to participate in sports his senior year. Thank you for your consideration on this matter.
Mr. Tipton, you're muted.
No, we can't.
Mr. Crawford?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do you feel you've had the opportunity to present all necessary information for your appeal?
No, we do.
Very good. At this time, we will open the floor for questions from the committee. Mr. Stone. Mr. Stone.
Stone, you're muted. Mr. Stone, you have to unmute yourself.
Permissible for him to type it in the chat? Is that working? or is that something we'll see tomorrow?
Let's see if we can get him on while he's working on that. Let's go to Mr. Trahan for a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Mr. Kroger, the young man, he has participated the last 4 years in high school athletics.
Only three.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Mr. Crawford, I'd like to ask, I'm assuming he's all other aspects of eligibility, it's just the age that is keeping him from being ineligible?
Yes, correct.
Here, that they made the decision to hold him back a year thinking that would be best for him academically and in every aspect of what he was going to experience in school. And the Rangers are here. I think are the Rangers in the room with us on the video. They were supposed to be on the. They were supposed to be in. Are they present? They may could speak to that better. That they would be. That they're allowed to do that too.
Certainly. I see them on our board. Ms. Boozer, they appear to be muted. I see a Jen Rainey on our breakout room participant. Is that, I believe that may be who we're referencing?
It was Michael Stowe.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Are they in the room now? The Rainies? Good morning.
Yes, we're here.
Okay, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. We have a question on the floor this morning, so wouldn't mind repeating that question, please? Mr. Clark?
Absolutely. I was asking for a clarification on, on the situation with the first of all, welcome. On why this situation would be unique compared to students who have come from other countries and have had to make decisions about what grade they start in. Based on many considerations that were made in this situation and on parents in general for other reasons, such as academic delays and school, yes, have to make the decision to have a student in some grade more than 1 year, find themselves in a situation with regard to really looking for the, why is this situation unique?
Okay, it's kind of interesting for me to answer this because I'm serving two purposes, father and educator. Excuse me. So I'm going to try to speak with 50% of each in my head. When we returned from the adoption process, it was 8 months in Nicaragua. And the question is, why is this unique? And from my perspective, it's simply unique because this is my child, and he is extremely unique in many things. And education is supposed to be individualized as it stands. It is a unique situation because I can't think of many other people who went through what we went through. with this adoption process and came back home. We made this decision as parents and educators. We could have put him in seventh grade in January 2015. However, after our experiences with him and his sister and their gap in education and our familiarity with the standards that he would be facing that year and his English barrier, we felt that this was a unique situation and needed to be held back. So to me, it is unique because of the environment surrounding what's going on or what was going on, and because it's education is supposed to be individualized.
Mr. Beasley.
Yes, good morning, everyone, Mr. Crawford, Mr. Rainey, Mr. President. I just have a few questions. If Mr. Crawford could walk us through the timeline, I'm trying to clarify that Mr. Rainey's son adopted in what year?
2014 was when it was finalized.
And he entered the school system in the sixth grade?
Yes, in January of 2015, he was enrolled in sixth grade.
And it was determined then that he would be held back that year?
Yes.
So basically, that was in the middle school at the time, I assume. Is that how it was?
Yes.
When he entered into the ninth grade, can you describe to us ninth grade through his... to the current point, if you suffered any other hardships during the ninth grade, during the 12th grade? Or did he get kind of on track from that point on after you held him back in the sixth grade?
After we stand by our decision to enroll him in sixth grade in January 2015, he has made, and I'm trying to speak more as an educated parent, but it's hard, but he has made amazing leaps and bounds. This child next to me is a major overcomer of many things, not just English, but other situations in his life that I am just speechless. And so he has made quite a lot of progress. You can check out his scores from the state exam, the access test. They've improved every year. So, yes, he has made quite a bit of progress. I can't think of any more. There were other hardships, but anything new, I can't think of anything.
Okay, so he's had pretty much an amazing ninth grade through 12th grade as progressing through.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Stahl, you want to try your question again, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Mr. Tootin?
Yes, sir.
All right, so apologize for the technical difficulties, technology. Crawford's still on the
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Crawford, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, and well, I was trying to get, I was listening to some questions answered, so I kind of answered, but my question was on the letter dated July 29th, 2020 that you sent to the Commissioner of the High School League. You stated that you could show evidence that the reason the student was held back when he entered school, you know, it was due to the time of the enrollment as well as the language barrier. But in your presentation, you stated it was about all academics. And how does that differ from any other students that come through any level that's any student that's held back during their education? How would that differ?
Which college? I feel this is not, again, looking at the circumstances which are not typical in this case. And again, entering ninth grade, 3 years of eligibility, so again, I go back to say it's just a matter of days rather than months or year. So we feel like there's, on our standpoint, there's definitely a hardship here. We've asked for an exception.
Thank you. Mr. Cooper.
Information in the document. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Cooper.
I didn't see any of this information that was provided, but from what I understand, obviously he started, the decision was to start him in the seventh grade, and he was 13 at that particular point in time. Is that correct?
The decision was to start him in the sixth grade.
Yes, sixth grade, I apologize. Sixth grade, he was 13 at that time. And my question is, in the seventh or eighth grade, did he participate in either of these sports while he was in middle school?
Not to my knowledge, he did not, but that's Mr. Green, because we do not have a theater program for the high school.
Okay.
Yes, he played soccer in the 8th grade.
The
7th and 8th grade. 7th grade, I'm sorry. He was not able to play in 8th grade. The 7th grade he did.
And did he participate at, where did he participate in the 7th grade at soccer?
Seventh and eighth grade, he attended Hughes Academy in Greenville.
Mr. Stone, did you have a question?
No, sir, it got answered. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Further questionings for Mr. Crawford?
Executive session before we?
No, sir. You'll put the motion to vote will take place in the
executive session.
Yes, sir. Good call, though. Thank you for asking that question.
I'll follow up. I'd like to make a motion that we grant the hardship and immediate eligibility.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to grant eligibility and set aside the age rule in the Constitution to grant eligibility by Mr. Brown. Motion, Mr. Trahan gave it a second. Is there any discussion on this motion?
Yes, I got a question, Tony Folt.
Mr. Folt?
Good. Could y'all send me the email about all this? I didn't get it. Only a few.
It was located in the Zoom link, sir, in a Dropbox for yesterday's workshop.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I didn't.
Mr. Buskowski?
Yeah, I just wanted to state before we take a vote my rationale for the way in which I'll stand. I don't know if that's appropriate now or once we come out of the closed session.
Well, once we come out of closed, there is no more discussion on this matter. What we need to make sure of that you are just discussing the motion, not necessarily your opinion based on where you are, but you can certainly state your direction off of this motion for discussion.
Okay. Whereas, you know, reviewing all the relevant documents and certainly hearing the testimony, I think it's compelling, certainly. But reviewing the bylaws and the Constitution, I find it difficult to find language in there that would justify an exception. You know, after careful reviewing of all of the extraordinary circumstances, I don't see anywhere that the Constitution or the bylaws grant this as a hardship. Do I think it's a hardship by the definition of the word hardship? Yes. But a definition as defined by our bylaws and constitution, I don't find cause in those documents.
Mr. Warren?
Yes, my intention would be to vote against the motion, and primarily based on my experience in that there are multiple students across the state yearly in a similar situation to this. And every year, it could be, even at my school, where students come in and are placed in grades for the same reason by the school district, sometimes parents, in addition to not just students from other countries, but with this, and I'm speaking about multiple situations across the spectrum from pre-K for students who are difficult situations, and such as this one, as difficult situation, a hardship by the definition of the word, but not necessarily in the Constitution. And I think it would be important for me as a member of the committee, before an exception is made for this student, to realize how many students are out that would fit a difficult situation with their age or their senior year. Some of their junior in these situations, comes to sport. And if that rule should be changed, that's a different matter. But from an exception standpoint, I totally agree with Kyle that the Constitution is clear, and that there are multiple exceptions constantly going on in public education in difficult situations, such as the with students to be by home.
Thank you, Mr. Warren. Mr. Cooper.
I would just like to kind of voice my thinking on this too. I think, you know, in order to be able to show that this is an extraordinary circumstance, I'm not sure that the evidence is there to show that this is something that would be extraordinary as opposed to to compare it to another circumstance that is similar. There are similar circumstances, and parents have to make decisions about their academic that would potentially hold them back, and so that is this is a common occurrence, and I think it's hard to show whether it's more extraordinary than maybe another circumstance, and you know, I asked the question about the middle school because I know administrators and educational leaders across the state, we have a lot of our middle school students that, at the age where they are too old to participate in local sports, they participate in high school athletics, and it sounds like you had the opportunity to do that at the middle school level like other students did.
Thank you. Mr. Trahan.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I just wanted to follow up. I know I seconded, wanted to my rationale there, because I do take the age rule to be a very serious one. It does sound like in this young man's case, though, based on what we were told, there were some circumstances where they were trying to get the young man caught up, and he was put in a position where they really didn't have the luxury of looking at how this would impact his athletic opportunities. 6 years from the time he enrolled in school, they were more worried about getting him on a successful track. So, for that reason, I seconded the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trahan. Ms. Bryant.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do find it a little different than other students who are from other countries who come to us. We know in South Carolina, as an administrator, we're told to put them in their grade level. So, to me, this student happened to have the good fortune of educating to be truly looking out for his educational experience. And decided to go against the state's recommendation of putting them at their actual level. So I would argue that most students are put on their grade level, and that's